Hey, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Peggy in Paradise podcast number 239 on May 16th, 2019. Changing the world one ass at a time. So hey, I'm going to skip all the introductory stuff and go straight to a patron update. Because I have a bunch of them because I've been sort of MIA, you guys. I'm sure you are well aware of that. So, okay, let's talk about the patrons. Christo is now my patron for $5 a month. Christo, thank you so much for your generosity. I really appreciate the support. James is also a new patron for $5 a month. James, thank you so much for signing up. I hope you enjoy the erotica, and I appreciate your generosity. Don is a new patron for $5 as well. Thank you, Don. I really appreciate your generosity, and I'm thrilled that you are a new patron. Gordon is now a patron for $5 a month as well. Gordon, I appreciate you signing up. I really hope you enjoy the erotica. Thank you for your generosity. And then I have a new patron for $5 a month called rd.vaonline. Have no idea what that means, but I thought I'd read it out exactly like it was written. Thank you so much for your generosity and your support. I'm thrilled you are a new patron. Yay. And Mario is a new patron for $3 a month. Mario, thank you so much for signing up. I appreciate your support, and I've seen you in the 24/7 chat room, dude. And then I received 2 one-time donations, one from Roger for $1. Roger, thank you. Every dollar counts, I tell you. And one from Mike for $50. Mike, thank you so much. You're going to get 10 months of that $5 a month patron rewards tier. So everybody, I really, really appreciate you continuing to support me while I struggle just a tad with my productivity. And, you know, I have to tell you, this all sounds good because I only read the ones that people signed up, right? There are absolutely a number of you who have bailed, and I totally understand, and I don't take it personally. Sometimes, you know, the expectations of the rewards are there, and if you're not getting it, then okay, I'm gone. And I totally understand that. But other things that I think happen with supporting what I do is that a lot of times people are sort of drawn in the beginning because they find my information. They're so thrilled that they have it there to help them feel better, to help them let go of the shame, to help them get some accurate information and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of reassurance that people find when they find my website, which is awesome. And I'm thrilled to be that. And then as time goes on, it's not quite as much of a need anymore. And perhaps they find their own path. And maybe it's a little bit different than what I present at Pegging Paradise. Maybe they're going down a different kink or something. And then they think, oh, well, you know, I'm going to move on and do other things. So please know that when you bail, I shouldn't even use that word, when you stop being a patron, I don't take it personally. Things wax and wane. The pendulum swings back and forth. And I have a very, very strong belief in the universe that it will take care of me. And all of you new patrons are evidence that this is absolutely what's happening. Right now, I'm averaging pretty strong right at $500 a month. It was up to like 700 at one point. I think I mentioned this before, and then it dropped to 500. But you know, 500 helps a lot, you guys, an awful lot. So let's move on from all of the patron way cool stuff to talking about the productivity, shall we? So, all right, you guys. The people who have been with me for some time are really used to this. Every single year I do Masturbation Month, which is May, and I post every single day and I give you this lovely erotic tidbit to stimulate your mind and perhaps your body as well, your fantasy world perhaps. And I've really enjoyed doing that. It is a lot of work, I gotta tell you, but at the same time, I've really enjoyed doing that. And I just, you know, it wasn't there this month. It just wasn't happening. So first, I apologize for not at least telling you guys I wasn't going to do it this year. I'm not sure what might happen towards the end of the month. I might rally and just go for it a bit. But I hope that many of you have been taking things in hand, shall we say, or perhaps in toys. and continuing on the tradition as enthusiastically as always, because masturbation is an awesome thing. And I hope that, you know, I think if everybody masturbated more, the world would be a happier place. I really do. So, yes, no Masturbation Month goodies and tidbits. For that, I do apologize. I have fallen down on the job. But here I am back at the job. It is an early Tuesday morning. This podcast will go up tomorrow. It'll go up tonight for my patrons. And I am just putting one foot in front of the other. There's different things happening in my life, and most of them are actually quite good. And I have still not unlocked the key for what it is, the wall that, you know, doing this thing, right? And I've talked to you guys a bit about this already, and I'm being very transparent about my journey here. It's fascinating to do this, like, and think that all of you guys are listening, but at the same time, I'm a real person, just like all of you out there. I am not just some figurehead sitting behind a desk and reading things. I am a real person who struggles. So remember I talked about doing the bottoming thing and thinking maybe that was a part of it. Well, I bottomed for a second time with this partner who I totally trust, and I enjoyed about 70% of it. The fascinating thing was that while we're doing these things, right, and it included some impact play, it included some electrical play with a neon wand, that was a new one, and some of that I really liked. But what's going on in my head when I bottom is I have this inner dialogue that just keeps going about how, well, there are things that are happening that I don't really like, but when is it appropriate to use my safe word and maybe call yellow? And am I supposed to, like, be tied to this table and have these things done to me that I don't like? Is that just part of bottoming? Or how much say do I get in what happens to me and what doesn't? Now, okay, in reality, I know that I have total say about that. But the whole journey for me is learning to let go, learning to allow, learning to give up control. Well, okay, but I still puzzle about, does that mean I have to have things done to me that I don't particularly enjoy? Oh my goodness, it's rather confusing. Anyway, it does not seem to have been the bulldozer that knocks down that wall that I was hoping. So I'm off to search for a therapist. I've mentioned this before. Finding one is a little bit more difficult than I thought. And you know, I ran across this really cool article about 12 questions that you should ask a potential therapist to make sure that they're sex positive. And I'm going to put the link for that in the Linkorama because it is so timely. And these questions are excellent questions. So that's probably what I'm going to be using to find somebody. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up doing some kind of online sessions with Skype or something like that, or Zoom, because, yeah, you lose a little bit. I mean, you don't get quite the personalized just rightness, if you will, that you would from a session in person. But I think that that will be less of a factor than the advantages I will have from finding someone who is truly sex positive and sort of understands me as a person in terms of the kinky parts and the sexy parts and the sex educator part and all that stuff. So anyway, that's a possibility. And the other thing I was thinking too is maybe it's just time for me to connect with nature. Maybe I should be getting up and going on a hike up in the mountains every morning. Maybe that will ground me to a point that that's what's missing. I don't know. So that's a little bit about what's happening with me. And I have podcast stuff for you. I totally do. So let's jump in, shall we? This message is from Country Boy, and the subject is Need Help. It's quite a short message. Hi, I want to get my girlfriend to do me in the ass. She started to do it once, but she won't do it anymore, and I've asked for it. Okay, so listen up, guy, and this is from Country Boy. So Country Boy, listen up. First, you need to make sure that your side of the street is clean. What do I mean by that? I mean that you need to be the best partner that you can possibly be to your girlfriend. You need to focus on keeping her happy, not just sexually happy, but being kind and compassionate and giving and helping her with things she needs help with. You be the best boyfriend you can possibly be in all areas. And then make sure your communication is really good with her. Can you two talk in bed? Because you're wanting to do varsity sex here. Pegging is varsity sex in my book. And when you start venturing into varsity sex territory, you're going to need good communication. You need to be able to talk about sex in the moment when you're having it and before, and you need to be able to ask for what you want. She needs to be able to ask for what she wants. You need to be able to, in the middle of something, say, whoa, whoa, stop, that hurts, or a little to the left. You get my point. You need to be able to speak freely about sexual things, your desires, your fantasies, stuff like that, okay? The next thing is, she might want to listen to podcast number 112. I'll put a link for that in the Linkorama. I don't know if you've written in before or if you listen to my podcasts or maybe you just found my blog, but when I say that, what I mean is that there is attached to the posting of every single podcast a list of links. It will take you to the toys I talk about, and it will also take you to the podcasts that I recommend that you listen to. This particular one I recorded for the women goes through all the myths and misconceptions about pegging. It explains how difficult it is for men to ask for it, and how really what you're doing when you ask for it is allowing her to know you on a deeper level because this is something you really love. And it emphasizes the relationship. That is like the short description of it. Because I don't know what's going on with your girlfriend. You know, you gave me two sentences with no punctuation, dude. But often with givers, it is misconceptions that make them pull back. It is a misconception about this is going to turn him gay, or he is gay, or maybe he's bisexual, or he likes pain, or he's going to want to dress up like a woman, or he wants me to beat him. See all these different misconceptions that she could have? I go through those one by one on that podcast. You need to listen to the podcast first so that you can decide whether or not it is appropriate for your girlfriend. And you might want to listen to it with her if you decide that it is. Now, it's possible that she is someone who just isn't into pegging. For whatever her reasons are, it doesn't matter. You need to respect that if that's the case. The only reason I suggest that she listen to podcast number 112 first is because many times it's not a hard and fast boundary of, that's just something I don't like. It's a misconception that could potentially, when explained and accurate information is given, be gotten through to a point of, oh, okay, I get it. These thoughts that I had about this act that he wants me to do to him are really not correct, and it's this instead, and I can handle this. I couldn't handle that, but that's not correct, and I learned that in podcast number 112, so I'm going to fuck his ass now, no problem. That's one scenario, but the other scenario is it's just not her thing. Some people get squicked out by anal stuff. Some people don't want to have anything to do with it. And if that is where she is coming from, you absolutely need to respect that and just do some self-play. And that's really all the advice I have for you. Because everybody has the right to say what they want to do and what they don't want to do. But podcast number 112 might help. We'll see. But get on that whole communication thing and making sure your side of the street is clean before you do podcast number 112, be the good boyfriend and do things in the right order. Good luck and let us know how it goes. Let us know if I can play the music for you when she finally really starts to fuck you. Thanks for the letter. Here's my next one. I recently told my new girlfriend about my desires to cross-dress and be pegged. It's not a lifestyle thing for me, and it doesn't have to be anything specific. For example, dressing up to be pegged, or honestly, putting on eyeliner at night because I like the way it helps me relax, not because I'm horny. I don't always want it, and I love being a man and fucking my girlfriend, but I love being dominated. So here's my question. She says that she is willing to try it, but I sent her pictures of me dressed up, and I've had people tell me that I'm sexy and beautiful, and honestly, once I heard breathtaking. She told me that it hurt her to see me dressed as a woman because she loves the man in me. Is it wrong or selfish that I want my partner to be attracted to me both ways? I mean, she could wear a suit made from cat hair, and I would still find her the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. Is acceptance enough? I want more. I want the occasional girls' night of makeup and hair and secrets and stories and making love. I need some advice and some info for her, please, and thank you. Okay, so this is not my area of forte, but I do know a fair amount about it. I think it would be helpful if you got onto a cross-dressing forum like one of the Reddit forums, and I'll see if I can find one for you and put a link in the Linkorama, because asking other guys who like to cross-dress how they've handled it would probably be a good thing. But here is the advice I have for you from my perspective. First of all, I am a woman who enjoys cross-dressing in a male to a certain extent. I've talked about this before on the podcast, but if you haven't heard it, I love masculine men, and I love a masculine man with a few beautiful pieces of lingerie on. Like, for example, I used to go to this femdom party, and there was a man who would show up who was quite muscular. Apparently, he spent a fair amount of time at the gym, but he would show up in literal spike heels, stockings, a garter belt, and like a G-string. He looked stunning, absolutely stunning. So it's the contrast that I love. For me, I really appreciate the masculine men, and then the contrast of putting something really feminine and frilly on them just totally sends me in a really good way. However, if that same man wanted to have like girls' night and do makeup and tell stories and watch movies and stuff like that, then this same man kind of becomes my girlfriend, and I'm happy doing the makeup and the stories and that kind of stuff, but for whatever reason, this is the way I'm wired. I'm no longer sexually attracted to the same man. It's not that I won't do those things, it's just that it doesn't combine with me being turned on by that same guy, totally cross-dressed with the wig and the makeup and the whole thing. It's an adventure. It's fun. Like I said, it's kind of like girlfriends, but I don't want to fuck him and I don't want him to fuck me. That's kind of the way I work. So when you sent her a picture and she said that it hurt her to see you that way because she loves the man in you, perhaps you can sit down and have a conversation with her about, look, everybody's got different parts. I'm a little bit feminine and mostly masculine, just like you are mostly feminine with a little bit masculine. Everybody's got a balance, and I just sort of want to play on that side of it for a while and enjoy that with you too. But there's no guaranteeing that she's going to be attracted to you in that persona, if you will. When you go down that road and you want to do all the cross-dressing and the makeup and all that kind of thing, she might be like me, or she might decide that it's a cool thing. Reassure her that this doesn't mean that the masculine part of you is going anywhere. It's still there. It's still going to be expressed just like it was before. You're still going to fuck her and have a great time with her and be the man, right? But once in a while, it really helps you and pleases you and is really fun for you to embrace the feminine in you. I would suggest that you check out an interview I did with a guy who fully embraces his feminine. He is an active U.S. Marine when I did the interview. I'm not sure if he's still serving or not, but I refer people to this all the time because talk about the epitome of masculine, right? This guy's a freaking U.S. Marine, and he loves to wear panties and embrace the feminine in him. He loves to go out with a girlfriend and have manies and petties, you know, this kind of thing. So you can do these things and not be any less of a man. Absolutely. It sounds like this is what she has some fears of, is that you're going to become like the sissy crossdresser, and she will lose that manly part of you. Now, it's possible that she just isn't into the part of you cross-dressing and doing the girlfriend thing. So yes, it's not unreasonable or selfish of you, but it just might not happen. Do you want that? It's never wrong to want your partner to be attracted to you both ways, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen, unfortunately. It would be nice if there was a guarantee. And although you say, yeah, she could wear a suit made from cat hair and you'd still find her the most beautiful woman you'd ever seen in your life, well, that's logically, that doesn't work. You can't really put that on her as a manipulative thing and say, hey, since I would be attracted to you in a suit made of cat hair, then you should be able to accept me no matter what I decide to put on. That's not fair. That's not an equal thing. So, although I get your point, You can't control what she's attracted to and what she's not attracted to. I would suggest going into it little by little. This is the best way I can figure for you to sort of get into it a little bit at a time. Like, for example, maybe the first number of times, just put on a few things, like a pair of panties and maybe a garter and stockings. And then the rest of you is still the manly man that she knows, right? And maybe she'll enjoy that to the point where you could add a little bit at a time. And it's possible you may find a break point where she says, okay, I'm kind of done with you adding more things, and this balance is good. I don't really want to go any further. That's a possibility that that might happen. But to do it little by little, I think at least gives her an opportunity to see that, yes, you are still the manly man, and all of that part is going to survive you embracing your feminine occasionally. Men really aren't allowed to do that in our society, so I commend you for getting in touch with that part of yourself, for knowing that this is what you want, and for pursuing it. I hope that you two find a way to work that out, but just the fact that you've decided that this is something you really enjoy and that you need is an awesome thing. Do what you need and do what you desire, despite what society tells you, or even in spite of what society tells you. She may be also listening to society and thinking that this is not an okay thing for you. This is not the definition of what a man truly is. And that's just all societal bullshit, totally. Sometimes women are quite invested in our society's gender roles, if you will. And they're so invested in a man being masculine because that is what society has not only told men they must be, but told women that men must be too, that to see them any other way can be really quite a shakeup, you know? Maybe if you ease into it, she might get into the swing of things. She might slowly but surely get more used to you being in female dress. And, you know, it's great that you absolutely have that part of you that you're a man and you love fucking your girlfriend. So reassure her of that. And you might also be able to have, like, certain times when you do it, as opposed to, like, springing it on her. It might be good to schedule it. Sort of like, would you be willing to do this a little bit with me on Thursday night or Wednesday nights or something like that? That gives her a chance to sort of get her mind into it, as opposed to maybe she was in her mind thinking, oh, sexy dude's gonna fuck me tonight, and then you get all dressed up without telling her. I wouldn't do things where you kind of spring it on her. And it's lovely to hear that you're sexy and beautiful, and once you heard breathtaking, that's awesome. I do have two podcasts that are all stories about men who cross-dress, and most of them do pegging too, because clearly they're listening to my podcast, so they're into that as well. But that might be something interesting for her to listen to, because these stories are so from the heart. I mean, there's nothing to help someone let go of any kind of discriminatory or reactiveness about a certain kink or race of people or habit than getting to know people personally who are in that. And what I mean that by that is just hearing the personal stories. I mean, that's what we do with pegging all the time. There's people out there that just go, oh my God, pegging is so disgusting, it's so awful, and then they listen to a podcast. And they hear the personal stories from the real people and how we all have feelings and we're real and we love this and sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's not. Well, maybe if she listened to those podcasts of the cross-dressers, it might change her mind a little bit. It's possible. Another thing to think about is the whole dominance thing. I highly recommend Janet Hardy's book. I think it's called Workbook for a New Female Dominant, something about Workbook for Nervous Beginners. I'll put the link to that in the Linkorama. I highly recommend it. It's really easy to read, and it can give her a lot of ideas about what being dominant means. However, you also need to get clear about your ideas about what being dominant means. If she's interested in incorporating dominance, here's some of the things that come to my mind. she could require certain good behavior from you to be defined and agreed upon between you two. And when you do that good behavior, then you're allowed to wear panties under your clothes, or you're allowed to put on some lingerie, or perhaps you're allowed to put on some makeup. It could be a reward that you only get if you do what she would like you to do as a dominant woman, be that sexually please her, do the dishes, wash the car, whatever. You can get very creative with what it is you are being required to do. So that's one way to look at it, and perhaps she might find a little bit more of a liking if she is controlling the whole thing. Sometimes control can make you feel a whole lot safer about things. So if she had the say as a dominant partner with your sexy times kinky play of how quickly things were going to progress in terms of what you wore, she might be like me. She might find it kind of a turn-on to see your masculine body wearing a few feminine things. And it's possible that it might progress from there as well. So, yeah, the dominant thing is important, though, to clarify what you think of when you think of the word dominant, and to try and discuss that with her as specifically as possible. And the reason I suggest this is because you never really know what people mean when they say, oh, yeah, I want my partner to be more dominant. Well, what the hell does that mean? Some people, it might mean handcuffed with a gag in and nipple clamps on and they're getting their ass beat. And another person might be, you know, I just want her to put that strap on and throw me around and fuck me and, you know, act like she's just really taking me in a very powerful way. See what I mean? There can be so many different definitions of dominance, of the word dominance. So that is one more sort of component of what you're dealing with here that might provide sort of a path to enjoying a little bit more cross-dressing. You know, it can be sort of a trade thing. It's like, hey, I've washed your car. Can I put the lipstick on now? See what I mean? So that's just a possibility. It might appeal, it might not. But I wanted to give you some ideas, basically, to toss around, to think about, because you asked for information for her. I commend you for pursuing this desire and this passion. And I wish you the best of luck in trying to incorporate it into your relationship with your girlfriend, who you think is the most beautiful woman in the world, even if she wears a cat hair suit. That was lovely. So I wish I could be of more help, but I think your situation requires a fair amount of finesse for it to work. But keep being breathtaking. Don't give up that part of yourself. It's awesome. Hashtag no shame, dude. Thank you for your letter and good luck to you. Another letter with the subject, positions. Me and my wife have been involved in pegging for a while now. I absolutely love it. Best orgasms of my life. I cannot figure out why my wife likes it so much. It seems like she wouldn't get any pleasure out of it. But anyways, where do you have pictures of different pegging positions so she and I can look at them to get different ideas? This is lovely. I'm so glad you two are enjoying pegging. And, you know, apparently she's getting enough out of it to where she's willing to fuck you. Whether it's that she wants to please you or whether she gets turned on by it, you know, good for you that you two are enjoying it so much. I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama to the part of my, I believe it's in Frequently Asked Questions, the what are the best positions? And there's a bunch of links with different titles of all the different positions that I have pictures of. And you click those links and it will take you to a picture to show you the example of what I'm talking about. So I'll put that in the Linkorama for you. And there you have it, sir. Have fun with those links and have fun trying out the new positions. Thanks for the letter. Pegging celebration time! It's called A Big Thanks and a Few Questions. Ruby, I'm sorry in advance for the long email. I've been wanting to write for a while, but wanted to listen in for a bit before I did. First of all, thank you for your knowledge and sharing it through your platform. There's a world full of questions and scared men and women who are stuck between hidden desires and worrying if they are gay, bi, etc. I was raised in a religious household, so the issue of homosexuality is a no-no, being a direct correlation to sodomy. It wasn't until I literally told myself, "So what if I'm gay? Aren't there a million other things I'd rather not be than gay?" that I was able to breathe relief. I'm not gay, but I think that scares so many men and their heterosexual partners. As humans, the unknown and misunderstood are sometimes the hardest obstacles to overcome. I had to really think back to when the first time I had explored anal play. I think I started around 11 or 12. I went through phases of trying things, having no idea what I was doing, to not exploring at all. As I got older, I kept hearing jokes about a finger in the butt and knew there had to be more to it. I began playing in the shower and finally got the courage to go buy my first dildo. Boy, did I make a big mistake. I bought a rather girthy Doc Johnson dildo. I was a little too courageous. I felt more like Vlad the Impaler than a guy trying to get off. At this time, I was in an unhealthy relationship in which I wouldn't have dared to tell my partner that I liked something up my ass. I ended up tossing the toy and not trying again for a while. Toys came and went, and so did that relationship. I started finding that a butt plug while jerking off felt fucking amazing. I loved the way my ass clenched it and made me come so hard. Around this time, I accidentally, no truly, found a pegging video on Pornhub. A guy was getting spit roasted by two dom women, and I thought it was the weirdest thing. And as time went on, I kept thinking about it. What would it feel like? Could I open myself up to a woman, role reversing and penetrating me? The thoughts continued. I met the love of my life and have the most communication I have ever had with another person. She's kinky as far as choking and spanking. She jokingly would dry hump me and ask if I wanted to be the little spoon. I admitted that it was nice to be the little spoon sometimes. We're goofy, so she would dry hump me, trying to be funny. Little did she know I was getting hard as a rock. I finally told her I kind of liked it. That led to her lying on me while I was face down and dry humping me hard. She could tell how much I liked it and said, "What, do you want to get fucked with a strap-on?" Without hesitation, I looked back and said, "Hell yes." I think she was taken aback. She was like, "I was kidding, but we might be able to." After going in steps, starting from butt plugs while having PIV sex, to her using a dildo by hand on me, eventually she agreed to peg me. Jesus Christ, so much pent-up sexual tension left and so much emotion ran over. I want people to know that it's normal to feel weird when you're not used to this, but nobody should control what happens in your bedroom except for you and your partner. You should be able to enjoy anything and everything. You should be able to talk to your partner about pretty much any desire. You'll have give and take. As you say, keep your side of the street clean. Take care of your partner, not only sexually, but show them what they mean to you daily. They just might bend you over and fuck your brains out. Our anal adventure has not been without challenges. We've had messes. I was devastated. She told me she wasn't that shallow. She thought I wanted that more than her. I assured her I still loved her pussy and would never quit fucking her brains out. Don't be afraid. You never know what doors might open for you. So much has come from this. She swore nothing with her butt was ever going to happen. Her moans while she's getting rimmed and tongue-fucked in the ass say different. She does not return the favor, and maybe she never will. Again, give and take. Sex and life are about balance. I've secretly liked the thought of wearing panties, as I've tried that on, well, more than one occasion. Again, as a joke, she had me wear her thong one day. I told her how comfortable they were, and that women had it so much better. Late one night, I asked her if that statement had bothered her. She said no, that it was just underwear, and she had always figured women's underwear was obviously more comfortable. She has recently switched to a new favorite underwear for her. She offered me her old panties, and I said, okay, while thinking how hot that's going to feel on my cock and ass. For those of you who like panties, try out the iKinksy thongs for men on Amazon. I absolutely love them. If you read this, thank you. Sorry to take up the whole podcast, but you've made me want to share it all. Thanks for all you do, Bradley. P.S. Play the celebration music for me. I'm going to have to check out those thongs. I'm not sure about the pronunciation. Iking Sky thongs. I'll check that out on Amazon and put a link if I find them. So Bradley, congratulations. Absolutely. Very happy for you. And thanks for telling about your journey. It is often filled with all kinds of landmarks of then we did this and I remember when that happened. And you communicated that so beautifully. And those landmarks can sometimes be not feeling sure, of having worries, of having your partner have worries, all kinds of different things. So I really appreciate the story. Congratulations, you two. And have fun with those panties. And another letter. Recently discovered the podcast. I started taking anti-bad thought in your head drugs close to a decade back. They have the totally ironic side effect of awakening my sex drive. I used to masturbate 3 times a year or so, and basically giving me no sensation from my dick, an annoying combo. I was working on the road at the time, Broadway tours, 100-hour work weeks, not a lot of time to play with others. In 5 years of touring, in desperation to get off, I discovered self-prostate play, and boy, did the world change. Fast forward to November last year, and I'm off the road and living in central North Carolina. I have found a wonderful community of kinksters out here, and am a regular at a local dungeon, where I am accepted as a butt slut. At the dungeon, I have found a few play partners that I love and trust that peg me on the regular. But before your podcast, I still had the silly man shame of not telling the average kinkster about my love of anal. After listening to half a dozen or so of your podcasts, sometimes at work, sometimes once asked what I was listening to, and I belly laughed at them until they went away, I've decided that anyone who cringes at my choice of pleasure isn't worth the time to correct. There is an annual kink academy at the dungeon, and after 3 times where the same thing happened, I was asked if I would teach a class. Those 3 times, I was either having a pegging scene or an ass play scene with the toys I brought. In each of those scenes, looks down and twirls foot in the dirt, I'm pretty fucking loud. There were some newbies in attendance, and they thought that my tops were murdering me. After I cooled down, I tried to educate them on how it was the polar opposite of pain. So, sorry for rambling, but I wanted to let you know that your podcast has allowed me to open up to my fellow kinksters about who and what I am with zero shame. Have a good one. Zigaro. Wow. That's so awesome. Thanks for the story. Yes, men usually find out about the pleasure of their prostate with self-play. Every once in a while it's, well, yeah, she put a finger up my ass when doing a blowjob, but yes. And it sounds like you had no other choice with all the work that you were doing. So I'm glad that has calmed down and that you are really enjoying a dungeon relationship and the fun that that can provide. You know, you mentioned there that at the dungeon you found a few play partners that you love and trust that peg you on the regular. Okay, for all you guys out there that are like, oh my God, where can I find a woman to peg me? This is the thing I keep talking about. This is the thing that Michelle and I talked about at the end of my interview with her in the podcast where I interviewed her about her pegging gangbang. These things happen when you join a real life community and you get to know people. They don't happen online with you putting an ad in saying, please somebody come and fuck my butt. Okay? That happens so rarely that you might as well not even bother to put the ad in. But when you actually, no pun intended, but when you go out and connect with your kink community and start going to the local dungeons, the munches, and you meet people and you get to know them, this is how people develop the beginnings of relationships. It takes a lot of trust to have BDSM relationships and kinky relationships with people, even if you're just going to be play partners. So normally what happens is you meet people, you get to know them, you watch them play for a little while, you talk with them, and then maybe you find out when you're talking to them, hey, I'd really like to be pegged someday. And you just happen to be this person with the strap on in the drawer back at the house, right? And you one day think, you know, that would be kind of fun to peg this guy and to like make his dreams come true or whatever. And this is how it happens. It does not happen with ads. It happens with community, communication, getting to know people. So this is what you did, Zigaro. That's so awesome. Perfect example. And yay, no shame. No shame, dude. Excellent. Thank you so much for writing in. And another letter. Ruby, hello, and thank you for your dedication and the countless hours toward the work that you do. I have participated in your webinar and have pegged a few times quasi-successfully, which is why I am writing. We started off with the Tantus Starter Kit, and my bear, as I affectionately dub my partner, really likes the medium-sized toy, and in particular, the firmness and curve. I had to take it out of the harness the first time and pleasure him manually, and he came so very hard. However, given that he and I are both larger lovers, the length of the toy does not allow for us to participate in certain positions, as more length is required. We upgraded to the New York Toy Collective Mason, and I love it. My bear, not so much. While he takes it, and well, I might add, he doesn't enjoy the sex. He just lays there, which is both eye-opening and frustrating for me. Part of the reason that I purchased the Mason was because of the bend, yet he wants to feel the curve against his prostate, and I don't know how to give it to him. Any suggestions, tips, or tricks? Because I really like this toy. Also, unlike your other listeners, I feel like I am the one constantly initiating or asking him if I can peg or for anal play. I know he's down, obviously, but I want to give him that toe-curling, body-shaking orgasm, and it hasn't happened. I know he likes anal play and often teases that he has created an animal, yet I feel like something is missing. Please help. Regards, Pegging Princess looking to be upgraded to a Pegging Queen. That's a lovely title. So let's see what you've got here. You started off with the medium. What it sounds like is that he prefers the firmer toys. So here's the deal. There's different sensitivities for prostates. If you can put a finger in there and just barely stroke his prostate and it sends him to the moon, then he's got a really sensitive prostate. If it's kind of medium stroke, medium pressure, then it's medium. And if he requires a whole lot of pressure to get to that sweet spot of what really feels good, then he has a prostate that needs a lot of stimulation. So a prostate that needs a lot of stimulation normally isn't a good combination for a dual density toy, unfortunately. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get that one to work. I would play with positions. In particular, try him face down, you laying on top of him. Your legs can either be between his, or you can have him put his legs together and have your legs on the outside. And then if you can follow along with my description here, here's the deal. When you're laying on top of him, once you get that toy inserted and lay down, if you scoot up a little bit towards his head, what that does is it forces the toy at a different angle, and it angles more down towards his prostate. So it's possible that that position might be awesome. Also, depending on how your bodies line up, you might want to try him, both of you standing, him bending over and sort of supporting the top part of his body on the bed. Then again, this might not work depending on how your bodies match up, but that is also a position that targets the prostate really effectively. So I would suggest those two. The other thing that you can do is use the Mason with your hand and use it, you know, it's got that poseable thing. So it's got that wire that you can bend down the middle of it so you can put a curve in it. I'm not sure how well that curve stays there while you're fucking, but my point is hold it in your hand and try to find his sweet spot, just like you did with the other toy. When you find it, and you find what combination of curve and thrust and angle and depth and all of those things, then you know what to duplicate when you put it in your harness. Now, what you might find is that you can't find that sweet spot because the toy is just a little bit too soft for his prostate. So what I looked up for you was the other toy that I've been recommending for some time. They've been kind of threatening to take it out of circulation for a while, and I guess it's finally happened, which is a bummer. The Tantus Sport Long. It's not quite as long as the one that you bought, the Mason, but it is more firm and has that curved end on the end of it. So it looks like they finally are going to discontinue that, which I'm totally bummed about. It's not available anywhere that I could see. I tried to call Tantus to ask them if this was the case or if they have any plans to manufacture it again. And they answered the phone and said, yeah, so like, we'll get back to you tomorrow, leave a message. And I'm recording the podcast today, so I didn't wait for the message. And anyway, because the Tantus Sport Long is not available anymore, the toy suggestion I would have for you instead is the Fuse Alpha. Those Fuse singles are made out of pretty firm silicone, and it could be that's exactly what he needs. And the diameter is 1.5, which is exactly like the Mason. It's not going to be as forgiving because it's not a dual density toy. He should be able to take that 1.5 inch, and the length of the Alpha is just in half an inch shorter than your 8-inch long Mason. The Fuse Alpha is 7.5 inches long. So that's a possibility, at least. Take a look at that and see if that appeals. If he is struggling to take the Mason in terms of the diameter, then probably the Alpha wouldn't do well because you can kind of squish those dual density toys down. So if you've got a diameter of 1.5 inches, sometimes it's more like 1.25 inches. But if he doesn't struggle with the diameter at all, that's an option, is that toy. And it does have the clitoral vibe insert possibility for your pleasure, even though, according to your letter, it sounds like you are rather focused on wanting to send him to the moon. And I imagine that would come before you'd stick a vibe in there and start playing around yourself. Once you got sending to the moon down, then perhaps you can get a vibe and put that in there as well. I will put a link in the Linkorama for you for the Fuse Alpha. But I do suggest you take that Mason and put it in your hand and see what kind of magic you can make with it. And then if you can make the magic happen, try and duplicate that with the harness. Okay, thank you for the question, and let us know if you become the pegging queen. And you know, I decided to play the music for you belatedly. I read it and it's sort of like, so, you know, you didn't make a big deal about we'd pegged for the first time. You're like, well, we did the webinar, and then our first few times are like, hey, this is celebratory, man. So here is the music for you and your bear. Okay, and this next letter is, the subject is podcast number 112 and, quote, keeping your side of the street clean, end quote. Ruby, I love your podcasts and the information you provide. However, every time I hear you reference podcast number 112 and keeping your side of the street clean, I feel like crying. This is hard. My husband of 42 years has continuously cheated on me since before we married decades ago. He cheated with both men and women. He asked for pegging last year after he finally confessed his actions. He asks me to role play. He is a woman, I am a man. I pull back my hair, wear manly glasses and body lotion, and even clothing for men. I'm not passable, laugh out loud. I bought 5 dildos, all on your recommendation, thank you. But he will only look at me when I am wearing the one realistic cock. He covers his eyes or looks away with others, although he routinely asks for them, as he loves the sensations the different styles and designs provide to him. He also really gets off when I talk dirty to him by describing a scene where he is being fucked by a man while I watch. That is definitely not something I want, especially with his history. I feel bad, like I am not enough, and I am not really what he wants. And obviously, I have never been enough, or he would never have betrayed and hurt me so much if I was enough. Isn't it possible that some men that want pegging are gay or at least bisexual? I mean, he sought out sex specifically with men in addition to all the women. At the very least, could you at least acknowledge that it is a possibility? And the whole keep your side of the street clean thing, haha, I have never asked for anything from him unless I knew in advance that he would also want it. I am obviously the giver and he the receiver, or more harshly, the taker in our marriage. Even though he says he wants us to remain married forever, he really never asks me what I want. Luckily, I don't want or expect much from him. He trained me well. So when you say that, I just feel empty inside. I long for him to want to please me, but that's just never going to happen. Sorry for the rant. I desperately hope that I have not offended you. I just wanted to give you another perspective. Thank you. Oh, goodness, I so feel for you, and I do have some responses to all of this lovely sharing that you've done. Thank you so much for sending this in, and thank you so much for giving another perspective. It's not all unicorns and rainbows in the pegging world, and sometimes things are really difficult with relationships, with pegging, with all of this. So thank you for sharing so openly. So my first take on this is that you two definitely need counseling and you need to find someone who is a sex positive therapist who is kink friendly. In fact, in this very podcast, there is going to be a link, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, to an article about 12 questions to ask a potential therapist to make sure that they're sex positive. You definitely want one that is sex positive. But what I'm hearing come through loud and clear from you is that you're not having a good time, which sucks, and that you aren't getting what you want. So I'm not a therapist. I don't do therapy. I just give advice, and sometimes it's right on, and maybe sometimes it's not. And I trust you all out there to grab the things that resonate and try them out and to throw the rest of it in the trash if it doesn't. So here's what I think. I think that your homework maybe needs to be figuring out what you want. That's your homework, to write that down, to sit and think about it. Because I'm hearing that he has absolutely asked for what he wants. In fact, he's asked for it really, really, really specifically. And you've given it to him. This is your decision, of course, whether to give this to him or not. I can hear that it triggers you because of the cheating from before. And to answer your question and step aside just for a moment with that advice giving, absolutely it is possible that some of these guys are bisexual, probably not gay if they're fucking their wives and eating pussy, but it's quite possible that many of them are bisexual. But if you're bisexual, that doesn't mean that you're always fucking both sexes. Whether or not you're always fucking both sexes depends on the promises and the commitment that you have negotiated with your partner. You can be bisexual and still be quite monogamous. Do you feel those yearnings? Perhaps. But if you have made a commitment of monogamy, then you can be bisexual and still be faithful, even though I don't like that word. You can still stick to your promises. You can still be monogamous because you have promised your partner that. So yes, absolutely, it is possible for many of these men who really want to go down that road of pegging that they are bisexual. And maybe they will never explore it, or maybe they have before and they're just not actively having sex with other men now that they are in a committed relationship, if that is the situation. It is your situation, and I hear that the pain from his cheating is still right there front and center, and it's getting mixed up with the whole pegging thing. This is one of the reasons that I recommend that you go get some therapy. You need to work through the cheating thing, and what I mean by that is probably best talked about with a therapist, because I can hear that it hurts. I can hear that you have some anger about it. And this whole pegging thing where he wants you to dress up like with a man after having cheated with men, ooh, those two things really need to have some nice separation for a while. So maybe You should go get therapy and put pegging on hold for a while until you work through that. But also, really important to figure out what you want and ask for it. So, yes, maybe his behavior has not been very good because of the cheating, which is really sad and hurtful. But he has managed to ask for what he wants really, really, really specifically. Unfortunately, it triggers you, but he has asked for it. So think about that and think about how you have not asked for what you want really, really specifically. In fact, in your letter, you wrote, "I have never asked for anything from him unless I knew in advance that he would also want it." Well, my question to you is, why? Why would you not want to tell him exactly what you want, whether you knew it was something that he wanted or not? By only asking for the things that you knew he would also want, then you've really only kind of allowed him to know part of you. And, you know, he never asks you what you want. Well, you don't tell him either. And you write also that you long for him to want to please you, but that's just never going to happen. Well, it's not going to happen if you can't express what you want. And I don't know why you've put yourself in the situation where it's like, I only ask for something if I know he wants it too. And if you want your husband to know you as a full, real person, then you need to sit and figure out what you want and ask for it. Because only then are you actually even giving him a chance to fulfill those wants. He's not a mind reader. And perhaps you've just been socialized by society about how, you know, women are just supposed to make nicey-nice and not upset people and just go with the flow and not hurt people's feelings. Well, I encourage you 1,000% to get clear on what you want and assert yourself and tell him what you want, because only then are you actually giving him a chance to give you what you want, as opposed to wanting him to come and ask you. Why not sit him down and say, okay, so you've been really good about telling me what you want, so I'm going to tell you what I want. And don't filter it through that if you know he's okay with it too. Even if it's something you know he would never do, if that's something inside you that you really want, tell him that. It doesn't obligate him to do exactly what you ask for. It just allows him to know you better. It allows him to know all sides of you. Oh, can you hear the passion in my voice here? It's like, you really need to sit back and ask for what you want, please. I really, really encourage you to do that. Please do not resign yourself to never getting what you want and to having a husband who's never going to ask you what you want, and you just are there to fulfill all of his needs and his kinks and just grit your teeth and go through with it. Why would you do that? Don't you want more out of life than that? So the first step is therapy. I'm just giving you some ideas here, and the therapist is the one that needs to be the objective person that can help you to work together. And then maybe you'll get somewhere. Maybe you will actually be happier. Maybe you won't have to do the things that bother you and work through the things that are still painful for you. See what I mean? So let me give you my own example. I thought for a long time that I had to do certain parts of the whole sexy times thing to sort of be accepted as a sexual play partner, right? And then I discovered that really, it's okay if all I want to do is have a man cook naked for me, serve me, pour me my wine, rub my shoulders, rub my head, give me a massage, and then I'll beat him and fuck him, right? And that's it. He doesn't get to fuck me. He doesn't need to get to go down on me. I don't give him a blowjob. And so sometimes that's what I do with my play partners, because that's what I want. So will it limit me with sexual partners? Perhaps, but that's okay, because that's what I want. And so I so encourage you to look inside yourself, sit with yourself, and figure out what you want. Keeping your side of the street clean goes in both directions. It means being the best partner you can be sexually and also outside of the bedroom. And part of being the best partner you can be is to respect and honor and care about your partner's feelings around things. So if I say, hey, I really want you to paint my toenails purple every fucking time before we have sex, and my partner goes, oh my God, the smell of that toenail polish makes me almost want to throw up, but I'll do it for you anyway. No. You don't cross that line. You don't cross lines that make you feel awful or that make you feel uncomfortable without serious consideration of how uncomfortable that is. If it really doesn't make you feel good and you don't like the way that it feels, don't do it. It doesn't make any difference how much your partner wants it. That's not the definition of keeping your side of the street clean. It's a give and take. I want you to be happy. I want you to be getting what you want too. So no, don't let him train you just to be the giver and him the taker. Switch it up. Go to a counselor. Assert yourself. Tell him what you fucking want. Tell him when it hurts. Ugh, and I wish you the best of luck in working all of this out. I feel for you. I send you virtual hugs, and I wish you the very best of luck. Thanks for writing in and sharing all that with us. We're done. Yes, we are. In fact, I really hope I can fit all this in one podcast. Quickly, here are the next times for my webinars. Sunday, May 19th at 3 p.m. I have a few spots left. It's filling up quickly. Thursday, May 30th at 6:30 p.m. Those are the next two beginning webinars. And I also wanted to let you know that Gym Support is having a swing sale kit, the Canvas Swing Kits. And again, these are freestanding. They require no hard points in your ceiling. They do break down to a duffel bag, seriously. And they have everything you need to have this wonderful sex swing that just makes pegging freaking effortless. There's two different kinds. There's the padded one and the regular one, and that applies to the sling itself, basically. One is a padded one and one's not. A little bit more expensive for the padded one. And you also have a choice of the regular size or tall size for you tall peggers out there. When I put heels on, I'm a good 6'2", so I decided for the tall one. But it actually puts it down into the upper $300, lower $400 category. So it's a decent sale, and you know these people hardly ever have a sale. So you will find that in the Linkorama, or you can just go to gymsupport.com. No spaces in between, and gym is J-I-M, gymsupport.com. Okay, and, you know, I mentioned it briefly, but Pegging Paradise had a birthday. It really did. 9 years old. On May 11th, it was 9 years old, that website. I've been doing this for 9 years. Holy crap. And I posted a thing about it on my blog, and I wrote about it, but I did want to announce it on the podcast as well. Thank you all for being here and listening, because otherwise I would not still be doing this 9 years later. Quite happily, I might add. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, the 9-year-old blog, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find the sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page and my MeWe page as well. As a matter of fact, I got up this morning and I was in Facebook jail for another week. I swear, they're going to shut me down, you guys, and I'm not going to be that unhappy about it. They didn't even tell me what I did wrong. They just said, yep, you violated our thing, and so you're in jail for, they don't say you're in jail, but they say, you can't do anything, you can't post anything or whatever for a week, right? Oh, I'm so fucking tired of Facebook. So yes, I've been hanging out at MeWe more often, and I'm really enjoying it there. So I suggest you check it out, and the link will be in the Linkorama for my discussion group on MeWe. You can order sexy new toys from Entice Me, and if you do, you're going to support my work, but please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. And of course, always, you can send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too wild, too woolly, or too weird. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, and you can call me at 805-500-6544. I received a lovely call from a woman with a gorgeous British accent that was delightful. It was sort of a personal message that she could really relate to what I was going through. So thank you, whoever you are, for that. I did receive it. Sometimes I don't check my Skype for a while because that's a Skype number. And I found out that if I don't check it for a while, they actually delete it, right? So there were a couple of calls that came in that got deleted. So I'm so sorry if you guys called in and I never, ever received it or answered it. So yes, Skype is kind of a hassle, but I'm still going to keep that number and I will pay closer attention to it in the future. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging. Hashtag no shame.